So yeah, we get introduced to this council that consists of Shadowlass and Chemical King. And as
Wait, his
they're
name is Chemical King?
Yeah.
Branding, man.
Hi, I'm Shamar Griffith, codename Comic Shams.
And I'm Andrew Tejada, codename Arate. This season, we're racing through every part of the Tomorrowverse on
yet another DC animated podcast, part of the Forgotten Entertainment family. Welcome to yet another episode of yet another DC animated podcast. My name is Shamar Griffith, codename Comic Shams.
And I am Andrew Tejada, codename Arache.
Andrew and I have known each other since 1996.
That was the year Kermit the Frog gave a graduation address at Southampton College, where he got an honorary doctorate in amphibious letters. And as part of his opening lines of the speech, he said, "You were so lucky to have Kermit and his friends as your first teachers," which is factual and also a little bit weird.
I can see it all now. Dang, actually, this hits on so many levels. But also, I mean, was Kermit my, I'm like thinking about, was Kermit my first teacher, though? I guess, is Kermit and Big Bird friends? Are they friends?
Do they have beef? You know? Who's bigger?
I feel like nobody, Oscar don't mess with nobody. So I feel like he don't see people as his friends. But like, if Kermit was a friend to Oscar, Oscar taught me a lot. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Social distancing.
He's the one that should really be giving the speech. What a school. What a school it would be to go to school with someone who's not quite human.
Right. Especially as today we discuss a school from the future. A school with so many individuals, which when I was looking at the list, I was just like, I think this might be the blackest school I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm going to be honest.
I think Kermit would fit in well at this school.
Yes, we're talking about Legionnaire Academy, which was introduced in our new world here today. As we are now talking about Legion of Superheroes, this might sound familiar. We did cover a Legion of Superheroes movie not too long ago, but we are covering the main one focused on today with a rating of PG-13 that came out in 2023. And we got 83 minutes of just super content from the 31st century directed by Jeff Wamster. As we know, who's been basically doing all the films within our Tomorrowverse here outside of Superman and I believe the Batman film.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. A lot of work.
Yeah. We got a screenplay. It was written by Josie Campbell. This is a name that might sound familiar for people who watch shows such as She-Ra, The Princess of Power. She does a lot of great crafting of stories in that series. So definitely check that out. Animation services are continued to be provided by Answer Studio and Digital Emation. And today we have quite a list of people because with the Legion of Superheroes, they are basically the Justice League on 100. Because everybody and their moms could be a Legionnaire. As today, we have our titular character who is jumping into this scene today. It's her first appearance here in this universe as we have Supergirl. And this Supergirl is voiced by one of the two actresses who was on the shortlist to play the same character in the live-action DCU with the James Gunn Safran verse. Meg Donnelly. Unfortunately, she didn't get the role, but she is in this film, and you also seen her in stuff like American Housewife, the Disney Channel original movie Zombies, and Mary Campbell in the Winchesters, which was a limited series. I'm now calling it a limited series. We're not calling movie shows getting canceled anymore. It's a limited series.
It knew how long it was going to last.
Yeah. It was during the Gotham Knights era of television.
Oh, my gosh.
Next up, I'm going to be honest about this one. This is the most surprising get I've ever seen on a cast list. More surprising than Stephen Amell being announced to lead the spinoff of Suits, to be honest. Because today we got Harry Shum Jr., famous star, famous person that has won awards for his appearances in Glee, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Crazy Rich Asians, Step Up, and just so much more. He's voicing our Brainiac 5 today.
Did you say step up the streets or just regular step up?
I think he was into the streets. He was also in 3D, Step Up 3D. Yes. My favorite one, though, I think I don't even know if it was the fourth film. If it was the fifth film, I get it. But I think it was the fourth film. It was Step Up Revolution. And I feel like when you have V in the name, you have to make that the fifth film.
Yeah.
It was not.
Come on, Fast Furious, don't drop the ball on this one. Flebin, let's go.
Continuing our cast list, we got Yuri Lowenthal, who we know has done so much work as like Spider-Man and Superman. He is today Mon-El, so he's voicing another, I guess, a ripoff Kryptonian is the only way I can describe him as. Cynthia Hamidi is Dawnstar. Next up, we got Darren DePaul, who voices our main villain today that I'm not going to say because it is a bit of a shocking twist. But I will say that you know Darren's voice as J. Jonah Jameson in Sony Marvel Spider-Man video game series.
But not in real life. That is always, always going to be J.K. Simmons.
Next up, we got Ben Diskin, who continues to do us harm today as one other person that pops up. But more importantly, as Arms Fall Off Boy.
That's fitting. That's his sentence for harm.
Jennifer Hale is known throughout video game and voice acting. Today she's joining us as Alora Zor-El. And finally, we have Daisy Lightfoot, who is somewhat new to the scene, but she has been making some amazing strides in this work of voice acting and voiceover work, especially as a Black woman here. She's the voice of Shuri in the most recent Marvel Animation productions. And today she is voicing Triplicate Girl.
Yeah, we'll have something to say about that later.
All right, so with that, we're going to boom tube over to the beginning of Legion of Superheroes.
So we start off by Kara Zor-El racing a cheater. So she's getting some exercise with her mom. Her mom is cheating. So Kara decides to take a page out of her mom's book, also known as Jay Garrick's book, and take a shortcut through the side, you know, small crimes. And after the race has concluded, they sit down and talk about where they are. They're in Argo City on Krypton. Allura is still overseeing most of Argo City, but she, even though she's busy, she wants to spend time with her daughter. So, and they also mentioned that Kal-El is young and putting everything in his mouth. So if you didn't know, this is before planet Krypton exploded. They're having some mother time, but yeah, it doesn't last too long because the planet, it explodes. Yeah, we're done with that prequel nonsense.
Yeah, it's... It's of course, you have to see this destruction. You can't tell any Kryptonian story without telling the story of the destruction of Krypton. And in this moment, we see that the Earth starts to shatter around them as meteors are falling from the sky. Allura grabs her daughter as they race to this building. And she shares that in this building, she's been working on something in secret. She shares that the Science Council never believed Jor-El and his claims that the planet might be doomed. So honestly, this is a great little moment to just jab at a little bit of like climate change, of just understanding like that shit is real. So now we see that she built out escape pods for everyone. These like hyper sleep escape pods that people could go into, send the inhabitants of Argo City to everywhere else. And as she's like getting it prepared, we start seeing that one by one, they all start to fail. And Allura is just so upset and saddened by this. She even says that she's sorry, Jory, for failing him in this way. And it kind of made me wish now that like Jor-El and Allura were brother and sister, because this felt more real to me than Jor-El and Zor-El's relationship has ever in like comics and television and all that other stuff.
Yeah. And I also want to say, I hate to say it, she's not very good at building these, is she? Because all of them but one failed. She needed that Batman contractor to get in there. Whoever that is, they would have had her covered.
The whole planet would have been escape pods.
Yeah, give Batman some prep time. He'll save Krypton.
So as she realizes that only one chamber is actually, one pod is actually working, she starts saying her goodbyes to Kara, telling her that she's always going to love her, she always will love her, and to take the lessons that she's giving her with her along the rest of her journey. Kara is still in shock about what's going on. She's trying to keep up with the fact that, like, her planet is destroying. Her mother is saying these things that she doesn't quite understand, that this is the final goodbye between her and her mother. So when the door starts to close off, it, in a really great kind of animation sequence, we do see that the chamber, the pod, sends off into space. The planet explodes at from her viewpoint of what she has. Unfortunately, though, there's a small piece of Krypton that makes its way over to Kara, knocks the ship that she's in, knocking her unconscious, and the ship starts careening off course to the depths and the darkness of space.
Yeah, and it knocks us right into the credits, which is a cool sequence. She kind of tumbles through the credits as we see her go closer and closer to Earth. And it turns out that she's knocked out in this pod for a very long time, because we immediately cut to her on Earth, where she's in glasses, she's blending in, and it's revealed that this is modern times. This is man after Man of Tomorrow, to be exact. Superman's already here. Her cousin has grown up. So this is something I'm realizing now, a pet peeve of mine specifically with superhero movies. If we know the origin story, don't show it. If you're not gonna, if you're gonna skip parts of the origin story, that's fine. But we don't, showing us half of the origin story, then cutting it, and then going, skipping ahead, doesn't work for me, because we just don't see Supergirl coming to Earth. We don't see any of that. We just find out later she's been there for 2 months. But we don't find out why the time skip happened in this universe. Sometimes Supergirl falls through a portal. Sometimes she's stuck in the Phantom Zone. But here it's just time to continue on with the movie, where Supergirl is about to get real bullied. But what do you think of this skip right here in the beginning?
Yeah, I also was upset about it, because it does tell the viewer that, like, you should only understand this movie if you know the superheroes. And it is something that I don't like that happens, where it's just like, if you're going to introduce a new character in the film, well, however you may do it, create it so that it makes sense for them to logically be there. If it was changed to a way where it's just like, you show this full story, maybe it's like, add in a sequence where it's just like, Clark does find her, maybe. He rips open the thing, and this is when everything gets revealed. If you still want to cut it even more, just have her wake up as if it's like a dream. Maybe she's dreaming about the fact that, like, the moment when she last saw her mom. It's still a bit of a jump, but at least we have something that doesn't take a slur. It's just like, she's been knocked out, she's careening off into space, we don't know where she's going, and then now she's just dressed like Vanilla Ice and Marky Mark kind of combined into some random character. So it's like, I do agree. I do think that we needed a little bit more in here to just show us, like, how she got here, especially because at this point we're only about, like, maybe about 4 or 5 movies deep, just because some of these movies are doubles. So it does feel very out of place that some characters got so much more lead up time and explanation on their build up, and she gets nothing except these clothes, a demand to go pick up some new clothes. And now she has to go and fight against Solomon Grundy because she heard the explosion, and the rest of the jokes are just now Monday doesn't rhyme with Grundy.
Yeah. It's also ironic. You just described the opening of the Supergirl CW TV show. That's exactly how they open it.
You see people?
Superman comes in, creates out of the pod, and she says in voiceover, I was supposed to get here, but I accidentally ended up here late. Superman was already here, and now I grew up. You could do that. You know, that would have been helpful, but no time for that, because Grundy's got a strap and he's shooting everybody. But during the battle, Supergirl tries to overwhelm him with strength, And Braun just throwing things, just punching him, but it is not really effective against Grundy, who I wasn't aware was an Avengers level threat. Like, usually Batman solos Grundy by himself. He sends Robin to do it, you know, like, but Supergirl yeah. can't scratch him.
It's that gun, yo. Once Grundy got strapped, it's like, I don't know, it's like force just increased tenfold.
I guess so. But speaking of Avenger level threat, during the battle, Batman and Superman actually show up. Just again, the idea that these two need to team up to take down Grundy is frankly ridiculous.
And it's in three hits. That's the thing that upset me the most. Like, it's not even like Supergirl isn't as strong as Superman. In fact, canonically, she's supposed to be stronger. The fact that Superman and Batman were able to take him down in three hits means to me that Supergirl should have been able to do the same.
Yeah, what was that? I don't know why they stacked the battle against her, but to make matters worse for Supergirl, at the end of a battle, a local citizen complains about the damage to his apartment building, which is kind of funny. She mentions, why do you build your homes out of aluminum and hot sand? You know, like, where are your construction robots like Krypton?
Yeah, I say though, that felt a little a little too close to home, because I was looking around my apartment. It's like, damn, this really is just aluminum and hot sand. Just knocking on things real quick. Like, yep, I can hear my neighbors.
I just got a ceiling leak fixed, so I know. I know exactly what she means. But while they're arguing about construction standards, Batman is bringing up a kind of solid point about Kara.
Yeah, he shares that since it has been only a few months, we still don't know anything about her. It's a classic tale that we've seen in a lot of, like, Superman meets Supergirl, Batman has his input on it. And it's just him saying that, like, we don't know why she's here. You were very excited just to meet someone else that's like you, that you never took the time to truly answer the questions. Now, is this version of Batman a little nicer to Superman about it than maybe Superman Batman Apocalypse? Yes.
A little bit.
Fortunately, there was no charge to a Bat computer being destroyed. But it's enough for Superman to start contemplating on it. But his delay in response is what Kara picks up on the most, because she does see that her cousin is agreeing with the fact that it seems like something that she's battling with. You know, they never said it, but, like, you're just assuming now that she's just battling with feeling like an outsider. So as she takes off, Batman continues on with, like, clearing up the scene. We see Flash appear. They're talking about what happened, specifically over the fact that Grundy had a gun that had some kind of redstone in it. And they're wondering, where did Grundy, the person, again, who believes that Monday and Grundy rhyme, find this kind of technology and learned how to use it to create such a massive threat within the streets of Metropolis?
And while you're contemplating that, which I don't think is ever answered, by the way, spoilers. Yeah. But Kara is by herself back in Smallville. And earlier in the film, she had received from her mother a sign that she was going to join the military guild on Krypton, a little shield. And now she looks at that and, you know, she's like, am I worthy of it? Which is an idea I really like of exploring, that she was going to join the military. And here, like, she immediately wanted to do it, but unfortunately, it's not going the way she planned.
Can't protect the planet that's not there.
Right. There's no robots. So Superman comes in and tries to give a pep talk about, like, Earth, this can be your home. And Kara's like, no, bro. Like, you were a child. You were a baby. You don't know what Krypton was. I do. Again, this is a great conversation that they're having. And Kara is ready to dip. But Superman says, let me try one thing. And here is where the conversation abruptly ends, because Superman has a time sphere that opens up a portal to the 31st century. And what movie did we skip?
Exactly. My exact thoughts. This is, again, why I said, let's work on, if you're introducing new characters or new concepts, guide us into it. Because he takes this ball, throws it, creates the portal. Was I happy to see that Lightning Lad is black? Yes. I was a little upset also that now we have another black character who connects with electricity. Yes, but that's besides the point. I'm just more upset over the fact that it's just like,
he then proceeds to tell her that when they formed the Justice League, when the heck did that happen? They met up with these 31st century heroes. When did that happen? So now they are like, we're in constant communication. How, sir, I doubt that you are just throwing a ball and just visiting the 31st century every so often. That does not make sense to me.
As also somebody who is highly critical of time travel stories, I am 1,000,000,000% sure, Maury, that this would mess up the timeline. Like, oh, yeah. So they never explain any ramifications of the timeline, which is probably why this movie is movies away from crisis, probably because they kept doing stuff like this. Before we dive fully into the future, back in the present, Star Labs is invaded by these masked people. And I'm going to tell you, look, if you work at Star Labs, somebody comes in that doesn't work there with no badge, shoot. Don't put your gun down. No, none of that. Shoot first. It's Star Labs. Whoever's coming in there wants the smoke and can handle it. So these masked people disintegrate the guards, and they try to break in to steal the head of Brainiac. But Batman cuts in for his cool line in the movie where he goes, "No guns," and chops their guns in half, essentially. And before he can scream, "Now talk," they take cyanide pills and say the circle remains unbroken. Batman's like, "This looks weird. I'm going to call the Justice League." And that's the last you'll see of Batman for this movie.
You know, usually we'll say, like, this is great, no more Batman. But low-key, I'm just like, we kind of need some more self-explained here. In the
any past. Follow-up would have been nice.
Right. So now we have to head back to the future. Thank you. So here is where Superman again explains more of the situation, more so that he wants Kara to join in on this Legionnaire Academy. Again, this team that is now in the 31st century, they're called the Legion of Superheroes. They were formed because they were inspired by the actions of Superman back in the 21st century. A little upset about that because I know that's canon. I'm just like, so no other hero was putting in work? It was only Superman? Like, come on, y'all. It's like, man, the question for the bare minimum had saved so many lives.
What about what all the Amazing Man did, man? Like, y'all forgetting about him?
I think Tom forgot about him, unfortunately. So as Superman is explaining that he wants Kara to join the Legionnaires, she's a little hesitant at first because, again, she's just new to this world, really for the last 5 seconds, but also to Earth for the last like 2 months. Luckily for her, though, the Legionnaires have their own sponsor to come in to speak with her. And we get introduced to Mon-El. Mon-El, who she believes is Kryptonian, but he reveals that he's actually from Daxam and that he's always just been inspired and enamored by Krypton and its technology. It's like its cleanliness, its way of policies that they have. Everything just seemed so good and pure. You already pick up on some language.
Yeah.
But it's enough because he's cute. Supergirl's just like, I want to continue talking with Mon-El, which leads to her deciding, I want to join the Academy.
Yeah. This is not a feminist masterpiece, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, because a heavy part of her decision is that she stays to stay with the cute boy. Mm-hmm. And yes, there is a lot of it, like, this is closer to Krypton, the future society, the technology they have. But no, her choice is ultimately influenced by a cute boy. So do with that what you will. As Mon-El starts giving up the tour, they find out there's a vault that is heavily guarded with lasers and other fun things. We see Dawnstar, a flying hero who just is like, look, I love flying with people because I guess few other people do in the future. Seems like there's a lot of legionnaires that can do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's like rings built into place for this. Like everyone can fly.
Great introduction. But the one introduction that doesn't go so well, Supergirl sees Brainiac coming out of a building. And of course, because as we saw in insert unknown movie here, Supergirl learned about Brainiac coming to Earth and Clark and the Kryptonite bullet. Somehow she heard the story. And so she's attacking Brainiac on site really aggressively, kicks him into the classroom. And what is amazing about this fight scene is that not a single damn person says, "Yo, stop."
In
for
fact,
like 10 minutes.
Yeah. In fact, they cheer on the fight, which is like, what is going on with y'all? Why are you okay with these two individuals, overpowered individuals, destroying your society right now?
I can't understand it. I don't know why it took Timberland Wolf to break up the fight in the end, but he does come in. He stomps in and says, "All right, guys, you're in trouble. It's time for you to meet the Council of Legion, Legionnaires." There's a lot of people in this movie.
So yeah, we get introduced to this council that consists of Timberwolf, Shadowlass, and Chemical King.
His name is Chemical King?
Yeah. Yeah.
Branding, man. You're a villain. You're definitely a villain.
Yeah, I was like, you sure you want to be a hero, Marco? It's like, I mean, I get it, but like, you sure? So they're there talking with Brainy. They're there talking with Brainiac 5 and Supergirl. They are basically disciplining them for what happened. But we see, though, that Supergirl and Brainiac 5 are more interested in just trying to one-up each other. And this leads into them being dismissed so that the Legion here heads could just really talk about what's really going on. And this is where we get some real thoughts from a lot of them. Like, Timberwolf is very upset over the fact that Brainiac 5 was chosen to be a part of the Legionnaire Academy by the higher-ups of the Legion of Superheroes that include, like, Saturn Girl and Lightning Lad and those individuals. And it's because the history of Brainiac is big. They show us that apparently he is the grandson of the original Brainiac, the one that we met who got basically knocked out for within five scenes or less in the Justice Society World War II film. And since then, Brainiac variants or later versions of him from 2, 3, and 4 have been the worst individuals of all time. Like, some tried to take over the world, some tried to take over the universe. One was a straight up serial killer. And it's enough that they all even say that we're upset with it, but we have to go along with what was designated by the higher ups. And then this is when it's also revealed that apparently they haven't heard from these people in quite some time, and it's getting them very worried because the last time they heard from them was when they went to go take on an anti-terrorist mission on the planet Durla. So as a reminder, Durla is the planet, not saying it's connected, but we know it's the planet of Changeling, the one where we learned in Young Justice that when Makam X went there, he basically was just like, "Yay, I could find the world for myself, and then it's like, for people like me." And then they just recreated racism, I guess, in this story that we have here.
Yeah. So back in the Supergirl movie, we meet a few of the B team rejects, the Sky High sidekicks, if you would, and. We see like Bouncing Boy, Arm Fall Off Man, Triplicate Girl, and apparently they're all here because their powers are too bad for the Legion, apparently. They're the sidekicks. So keep that in mind as we go into a cute meet cute montage where Kara and Brainy have a a pissing contest. There's really no other way around it. About who's smarter, who's stronger, and they do a bunch of classroom shenanigans, including one class where your job is to build a murder drone. I guess it's sponsored by like futuristic Amazon or something. And after their during their shenanigans, they actually bond and start to respect each other's skills and drive. But because their last class, the murder robot class, which I don't know why you even have in this academy, goes really sideways. They're both kicked out by Timbaland. He used his size 10s to kick them out. And this is where the movie tries to tie in the theme of everyone saying, Kara, all good what you did, but look over here, that reject brainy. He'll never be one of us. And here is where it's a little thorny for me, because I get Supergirl and Brainy are both outsiders, but Supergirl is an outsider because she came from an exploding planet and she has superpowers that she doesn't quite know how to use after just 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Brainy comes from a line of serial killers and murderers. Their journeys are not quite the same.
Mm-hmm. And it even kind of steps into a conversation of just like how appearance takes a part and how quickly you are accepted. Now, Brainy, the characterization he has is that he does look very much like his Brainiac counterparts. He's bald. You see that he has like the design of Brainiac on there. The name alone is already just a thing where it's just like people are going to be afraid of. And Supergirl, given the fact that she has this connection to Superman, the person that kind of like helped inspire the Legion to be what it is. You're trying to tell us that they're outsiders. But again, I agree. It's like Supergirl hasn't had a chance to truly even be an outsider. Brainiac has been literally hounded by the entire school at this point. Not even just the students. The teachers don't want him. So it's a little difficult to believe that Supergirl is truly an outsider now in this place, especially if it's like she's found a place that's very similar to what she's always wanted. So it feels like her ability to adapt into the life that she now has should be way easier than Brainy, since literally everybody's running up to her and is in love with her being there now.
Yeah. And also the fact that she didn't really get, she didn't have to earn it. Like, her place at the school, Superman just dropped her off, you know?
it's giving nepotism.
Yeah. Guys, watch My Hero and compare it to this, and you'll instantly see what we're going on about, mm-hmm. about superhero schools. But while Kara is, you know, really thinking about, hey, maybe I was wrong about this, the masked villains from earlier appear. They attack Triplicate Girl, who has hands, but unfortunately not enough hands to get really dead. She needed like
eight hands instead of just the six.
Yeah, it was not enough. She is lasered to death, while Kara follows a suspicious Brainiac who is running away towards the vault. And before he can reach the vault, Shadow Lass sneaks in, takes Brainy's leg, and she says, we found your virus. You were hacking into our systems, and you also probably murdered Triplicate Girl over there. And Brainy's like, yo, I'm a hacker. I ain't a killer, though. Like, come on. And he blames the Dark Circle, which is the organization of massless people. And Kara is the only one using Batman logic, or any logic for that matter. Going, why would Brainy come back to the scene of the crime? Like, why mm-hmm. would he run towards Triplicate Girl? And they're like, it's stupid. He made a stupid mistake. And they're like, no. Brainy is the only one not making stupid mistake. So now Kara decides to Google, what is Dark Circle? Which I did Google after this. And it's just things came up. But I was curious.
Don't worry, we will talk about the Dark Circle right here in this scene, because we learn that the Dark Circle is a terrorist organization that's been operating for at least a millennia. They don't have any true documentation on them, because a lot of it is just speculation. They don't know what their origins are. They don't know what their goal is. And the more that you hear about this, this is a scene that I think that was done well. As you hear how unknown they are and the fact that their reach is so far, especially over this span of time, the other thing that comes up is there's some ominous music playing in the background. The computer AI is like, you know, they have been always been known as like people who are like trying to provide weapons for other criminal organizations. They fought against sometimes the United Planets, which is something within this universe here, as well as people who just to be observers. They watch, they wait to strike. And as they're saying this, you see the holograms of the Dark Circle popping up one by one. And the more that you're watching it, the more you're wondering, like Kara, are these holographic images of Dark Circle members, or are they actually right here in the room with her? So A plus to that scene, because I did feel the creepy factor that I believe they were going for. If it wasn't supposed to be creepy, I don't know. Y'all need to talk to somebody, because that was creepy as heck.
Yeah, I mean, these are essentially the quarter owls with worse branding. You know, I mean, quarter hours.
Like, who's their PR person? It's not Bedlam's people out in Young Justice. That's all I know.
We'll bring up branding later at a very specific moment. But so Supergirl, after taking all this in, decides to go to Brainy with her findings. I'm also realizing now, after 2 months, she just started calling herself Supergirl. That's really quick and presumptuous. But anyway, so through their conversation, she learns from Brainy that there's a miracle machine inside the vault. Basically, it's the Infinity Gauntlet. You can do whatever you want with reality once you get your hands on it. Why they loudly announced that it's in the vault and didn't try to destroy it? You decide why. Brainy reveals his family all tried to steal the machine, but they got stopped before they could do it. And the reason he hacked into the system, the school voting system, to vote himself in the school so he could secretly steal the miracle machine to prevent his siblings from getting it instead of telling the truth. Now, his point of it coming to say like, hey, the miracle machine is in danger, from his perspective, while everyone thinks he's evil, I get it. That's a fair point. People might not believe you. But you know, like anonymous tip, maybe?
Right. Yeah. Anything. A letter. Phone call. So even try to steal it and use it as an opportunity to then try to be like, more is coming. At least we'll up our defenses. Something.
But none of that. So
12th level intellect, my foot.
Exactly. This could not have been the best outcome. So upon doing this, Kara says, okay, this sounds good. I instantly believe you. Breaks Brainy out of prison. And they prepare to enter the vault, but somebody else wants to lend a hand.
Yes, because now we see Mon-El has appeared on the scene. He's stating that he trusts Supergirl enough that if he, by believing her, he has to believe Brainy. And he wants to join in and try to see how he can lend a hand in any way, shape, or form. Very sudden. And honestly, Brainy's displeasure about it is very accurate, because I was just like, you wasn't with us shooting in the gym this entire time. We don't need you now, bro. So now we see that they start the vault breaking process. It's very, very, very protected, because the first thing that they do is it sends out lasers for anyone who stands within 3 feet of it. And this is quickly dispelled, though, by Brainy sending, I'm assuming it's like a crystal reflection device that sends the lasers back on itself, which has me thinking, like, how come nobody tested that before?
You know, he had T-spheres, didn't you?
So then as they get through that first door, they now have to enter into the first hallway, where they're met by a holographic security code, where Brainy tells them that if he doesn't break it in 30 seconds, the security drones that are coming from the sky are going to start shooting to kill them. And they're like, okay, Brainy might be got this. You know, because again, he keeps saying, I'm a 12th level intellect. You know, I've been solving this, I've been solving that. But this is why I like when people get humbled real quick, because as he shares that is giving him some difficulty, he has to acknowledge that's going to take a little more than 30 seconds.
Yes. And I guess the best way to describe it is he's playing fourth dimensional Tetris to try to get the code.
It's weird. And it's like a crazy explanation about it too. It's just like, I have to match up the code specifically, but at the same time, the code is trying to get into my mind to mind control me. And it's just like, just tell us that it's going to take a little bit more time because you're playing fourth dimension Tetris. Just tell us that.
I guess not, but in the meanwhile, robots attack, and you can't break the robots because it'll trigger a purge. So they use freeze attacks, gentle attacks, and eventually they're able to break through. Now there are no other obstacles, apparently. I guess that's enough. they arrive at the miracle machine where, oh, shock, Mon-El is evil, and he stabbed Kara. Sorry, we watched way too many of these to know that if a certain hero or villain shows up, they're the villain. So after Asmonel stabs Kara elsewhere, all the other legionnaires locally are being attacked. Timbaland kicks everyone in the circle he can, uses his Wolverine powers, but he gets taken down, captured, I guess. Instead of killed, sure.
Which is weird. I feel like if you were killing people before, why not just continue on with that process now?
Yeah, why only kill Triplicate Girl?
Yeah, that feels a little targeted.
Yeah, was she that instrumental to your plan? And as after all the heroes are taken out, this is a branding moment. Instead of the holograms of Legionnaires, we get the the circle logo, which is just an O. It's just a regular. It's not cool. It's just an O. Like
honestly, it just looks like the holographic system just had a bug. It just failed. Like,
I don't know. It's lame. And now we cut back to Mon-El, Kara, and Brainy, and Mon-El reveals that he turned evil essentially because he's mad that sidekicks and losers get a chance to be legionnaires. Just get a chance, he's mad at. he monologues about his motivations so hard that they have time to remove the kryptonite from Kara's body. And he claimed, the time of freaks has ended. Look at yourself, man. And now it's time for you to meet our leader, who is eager to meet you. And this is where we get the true villain of the movie.
Which is so ironic because it's just like his appearance is everything that you would assume Mon-El is against. So the fact that he's following this person is the weirdest thing of all.
I don't even know what Mon-El is for. He monologued for 2 minutes. And I don't know why he did any of it. It
does not make any sense. But thankfully, though, we do seem to have a smarter person appear as it's revealed that the true leader of the Dark Circle is the one and only Brainiac, the same Brainiac that we saw that received the kryptonite bullet to the brain, which kept coming up, I realized, throughout the film, because I guess they were just trying to set us to make sure it was like, hey, you remember Brainiac, right? Like this guy who had like two scenes in that film. Like, and he had that thing that happened to him that one time. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. You've been keeping up, right? You've been watching all the movies, right? Right? In order, right?
And as he appears, he starts sharing that everything that happened to him. He shares how after he had received that bullet to the brain, he had actually created the Dark Circle prior to his actual fight against Superman during that opening credit sequence. And they, as soon as he had died, he had his people come back. They grabbed his body, grabbed his brain. It was able to preserve it. Unfortunately, though, his body had depreciated enough that he needed to find another way to recreate his form once again to continue on with his plan. And this is where we get to see the most grotesque thing I have ever seen in my life. And I sat through a bunch of Constantine movies.
Yeah, so Brainiac decided to build his body out of Brainiac 5 siblings, which I get. Frankenstein up a body.
Mm.
But apparently the only way he could do this was that their heads still needed to be intact. Sure. And so their faces are kind of like melted onto his body. Like that Rick and Morty episode where like...
Oh, the Cronenbergs?
Not the Cronenberg one. More recent where Morty is like sticking out of Summer's stomach.
Oh, yes. Open your mind.
Yes, sorry, open your mind. Yes. Yes. But they can say more than open your mind. They can talk full sentences, and they have been absorbed into Brainiac's main body. And Brainiac said that he's been studying Supergirl's weakness, which, bro, isn't it real obvious? It's kryptonite. Like,
right, you used it against Superman. So it's like, how did A not equal, how did you think A didn't equal A again?
Is she immune to kryptonite? That would have been interesting to explore. Since she lived longer, maybe she had a resistance to it. Like, anyway, Brainiac said that he wanted to save humanity with the miracle machine. Apparently, that's always been his motivation. Usually, it's bubbling cities, but
because like, he sees an upcoming threat, which, I mean, we can infer what it is now, but at the same time, I'm just like, okay, like, why?
Yeah, but again, we need stuff to happen in this movie, Brainiac. So in the middle of another monologue, Brainy throws a smoke grenade, and Kara and Brainy are able to escape pretty easily. And as Brainy is healing her from the kryptonite wound she's dying from, he decides this is a great time to hit on her. And luckily, she's absolutely down for it. But before they kiss, the other members of the, I'm just going to call them the Zeros, show up. And before they can get in trouble, they're saved by Phantom Girl and Triplicate. Oh, sorry, Duplicate. And if you think that's a messed up joke, they made the joke in the movie. And this is minutes after the triple just died.
Yeah. Yeah, they stress how much they want to kill Mon-El. It is now explained that Mon-El was the one who killed this version of Triplicate Girl because she had seen him walking off doing sketchy things. So she decided to send off one of her clones to investigate. And unfortunately, that clone met their demise. So now the two remaining versions of herself want justice. And it's honestly, it's stressed for like 30 minutes, it feels like, of how much she wants to just like kill Mon-El, that I'm just like, just go and do it. Just do it. So now that they have themselves together, they decide to come together for the plan. Obviously, now everybody's realizing that Brainy and Supergirl are attracted to each other. So they start telling them, it's like, stop flirting. We gotta save the academy and whatnot. And this is where we see their plan come into action. Supergirl and Brainy go off to take on Mon-El and a couple of the Dark Circle members. But it's revealed that during this battle, they can't be touched because Brainy created holograms of them so they can lead Mon-El over to a location where the Zeros can now pummel him to death. Which I was just like, I don't think that's possible, given the fact that Mon-El is basically Superman, and I don't think that any of y'all actually have any kind of super strength. I feel like you'd be ripped apart. Only Arms Fall Off Boy is the only one who could be ripped apart and probably reassemble himself.
Yeah, in the middle of this battle, to be clear, the Zeros are the rejects, not to be confused with the Circle members.
oh, damn, they're all Zeros. People.
Right? So Invisible Man is there, which reminds me of Kel from Mystery Men. To be honest with you, I can only turn invisible when nobody's looking at me. And as Brainy and Nakara leave their friends to die against Mon-El, because he's basically a Kryptonian, y'all. Like, so we see Brainiac is at the miracle machine, and though it's not really explained what he's doing, it looks like anti-life equation. It looks exactly like the anti-life equation. He's making everybody in the universe essentially kneel and like be immobile I don't know if that what the plan was.
Yeah, I it seemed like, because at one point, as you see this wave emanating out, holograms of some of the heroes get turned into, wait, actually, I just realized, wouldn't all those holograms have changed to the circle if, like, they had taken over? Okay, so many plot holes. But the holograms of the heroes start turning into what looks like just like repeated images of Brainiac. Some planets start to transmute into kind of like, I'm assuming would be like Brainiac's home world or some realm of existence that he prefers. And it does a lot seem a lot like the Anti-Life Equation, because like when the heroes start to fall over, it seems like they just like lose oxygen. Even Mon-El gets hit because he's just like, I need to take out every single person plus those who might be a threat to me later on. And as he's just reveling in the fact that he's like, I've accomplished my goal of insert movie that we've never seen. And now as Kara and Brainy are trying to figure out what to do next, Brainy has a great idea of the only way that you can break reality is if you break the bonds within your family.
And I will give the movie this. One of the hardest villain lines I've ever heard. Brainiac is talking to the people in his body still. And he tells them, you are copies of greatness. You are just mere copies of greatness. Great hard line. This causes the other Brainies to get mad. They fight for control of their body and eventually end up tearing themselves apart. Like, just that's what happens.
Literally opens their minds.
Yeah, open your mind. Yes. Oh man, that's how the villains defeated y'all. I write your congressman if you're unhappy about it. But anyway, we go to Kara. She tries to punch the machine, but it doesn't work. So she embraces the machine and she sees her mom. Contemplates bringing Krypton back, but Brainy's like, hey, if you bring back one planet, I guess the universe is in danger of collapsing right now. I guess
false.
It's
false. Krypton would occupy an already vacant space. How would it affect anything?
Oh, you learned this from Dragon Ball Z and Namek, huh? So
there's more logic in that show than this thing.
So Kara is torn. She has this great debate. Should I revive Krypton or save the universe? And it's like, obviously, the answer is obvious. So they decide the only way to save the universe is to send the miracle machine to a different reality where it can be somebody else's problem.
Yeah. And with that, the wave that was coming out of it starts to collapse in on itself. Things start to change back. The holographic images of Brainiac change back into the holographic images of the what should have been the circle, but now is the heroes. And now this leads into the final cleanup job of getting rid of the dark circle, sending them outside of their headquarters, and also taking down Mon-El, which leads into this big, huge final battle where Mon-El and Supergirl now have to talk about what does it mean to be an outsider and to be careful about not destroying too much property around you, and what's it mean to be stronger and from a different timeline. Actually, none of that stuff actually happens. They just punch each other really hard. And at one point, Mon-El tries to say, hey, you know, you and I could be together because we're just strong individuals and bring back the Kryptonian Empire. And, you know, for that, Supergirl's just like, no, as she rocks his face form last time. And that is how our battle here ends. It then leads into our reject hero. I'm gonna have to go with rejects because I don't think we could call them zeros anymore. They lock up all the Dark Circle plus Mon-El, Triplicate Girl, who actually now goes by Duplicate Girl, but I'm agreeing with Invisible Kid in the film here, in which she should have called herself Dual Damsel. She threatens to shoot Mon-El, but doesn't. And as the rest of the Legionnaire team, the ones that have been away for so long, who were finally called in thanks to earlier in the movie when the team was able to send out an SOS signal, they allow each and every single one of our characters here acceptance into the Legion of Superheroes as full members, which was like, why was this not just something they already did? Like, just treat it like a police academy. If you pass the test, you pass the test. Not just one person makes it.
They need to reevaluate Arm Fall Off Boy and Invisible Boy. Like, those two, I just don't think they're making it. I think Bounce Man might have a better chance, but, like...
I will even question Timberland. Like, do we really... And Chemical King. Like, what are their contributions as of late?
They beat they couldn't beat the Ground Zero squad, like the Circle squad, which are they metahumans? Are they regular? Who knows? But now, Mon-El one last time reminds us that he wanted to bring order to the future, even though the future looks pretty damn good. Like, everything looks chill as hell. And we cut now to, I guess, sometime later. They're on FaceTime with Superman in the past. And Kara's like, hey, this is Brainy, my boyfriend. And I'm just going to stay here, actually, in the future. Bye. And then she logs off the Zoom call.
And then in one final scene, we see that Superman and Batman were in the same place with each other. They see that there's this giant crater in the middle of Metropolis, and they're wondering, how did this happen? As we are also wondering that, too, because the last time we saw Batman, he was trying to interrogate someone who had already died from cyanide poisoning. But before they can even deliberate or even speculate what's happening, they get hit by a beam. A very familiar Zeta beam transports them to parts unknown. And that is how our film today wraps up. So as we prepare to figure out, like, would Supergirl even know that Superman has been taken away? And why is it that we didn't get some more screen time with Batman in this one in particular? Or even if this was a Supergirl movie, here's a podcast from the Forgotten Entertainment family that you should be listening to the next time you're not listening to us.
Have those Marvel blues while Black Widow's theatrical release date is consistently delayed? Well, turn that frown upside down, because yet another MCU podcast is here to guide you through the MCU one movie at a time.
That's right, Mike. Each episode, we break down one movie from the MCU and talk about its connections with the source material, comic books.
Which means I get to learn so many fascinating things, like about Alpha Flight,
the Canadian Avengers,
who knew, and Moon Knight,
a multiple personality superhero.
Seriously? And then there's Man-Thing.
Yeah, not really sure how to explain that one.
Pretty sure no one can. Yet another MCU podcast, part of the Forgotten Entertainment family.
All right. Now that we have discussed Legion of Superheroes, this 2023 film that involves so many characters. Speaking of so many, how many Brainiacs are you giving this movie here today?
I am giving this... 4 Brainiac heads out of 10. This movie is it's just an example of what happens when you try to do a lot of really good things, but you just don't give any enough time to breathe. And obviously we didn't hold back during the review. I don't need to make every point again, but 2 main things that really, really make drag down this movie. Well, first, quickly, the Circle going through time, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. We're only told that the Circle can go between 2 fixed points in time, which begs the question, how did they start as an organization if they're just traveling between these 2 fixed points in time? Why did they give Grundy a gun? What was the hope? What was the point of that at all?
Yeah.
It wasn't a distraction. They broke into Star Labs later. Like, what was the point?
There was none. I know, like, they were trying to get, I'm assuming, because we do see the head of Brainiac in Star Labs, but, like, just start with Star, or even, yeah, just start with Star Labs, or even just connect those two. Like, I don't. Another thing, give us more Brainiac, because at this point, again, the last time you saw Brainiac was in 2021 with Justice Society of America. Granted, most people say that's too much Brainiac within a short period of time. But, like, he was only in it for two scenes. He had, like, four lines, probably.
We don't even know why he was there.
Right.
Was it?
It doesn't. And it's been, like, it's been 2 months later, and then all of a sudden, he's the biggest, baddest threat throughout all of time. What? Oh.
It really speaks to it, and I'll get to Brainiac in just a second. But first and foremost, this movie let down Supergirl. You know, we talked about this in some of our Young Justice content when characters were let down. But this movie really, really let Supergirl down. As a someone who is a real huge fan of the CW TV show, not all of the episodes, mind you, but what they did for a character, I thought it was I thought Melissa Benoit did a great job at it. But in any case, her journey as from the beginning to end of the series is clearly she feels isolated, she feels alone, and finding a found family amongst the aliens, outcasts, and reporters that she finds along the way. That's her whole thematic arc. Here, I think what they wanted her thematic arc to be, she's a brawny outsider who punches first, asks questions later, but learns how to find acceptance and finesse. But they never connect if her brawn is her aggression is due to being outcast. They never really make that connection. Is that how she was? Because she's going to join the military guild. So she thinks first, punches first, asks questions later. We never really get that. So her ending thing, the last thing she does in the movie is punch a whole lot and then say, I'm so happy I have a boyfriend. That is not a good way. That's not what the character deserves. I have seen better character development from the members of Teen Titans Go in the Teen Titans crossover movie. So, first arte alteration, this whole movie should have been about Supergirl from the scene one always uses brawn instead of brain. She loses the race, in fact, because she thinks her brawn is enough. But she had to strategize and think past that. And throughout the movie, she should be trying to solve problems with brawn. She should have full control of her powers. None of that, like, there's a brief scene where she has control, loses control, but it never happens again. Is an example of how things were not tracked in this movie. But she should have full control of her powers, punching, lasering through everything until she gets to the problem she can't laser, which is acceptance but in society. And finding a villain who's the smartest villain in the DC universe, probably. Like, so, like, Darkseid. So it should have been about brawn to brain. Brainiac 5 helps her learn that lesson and also helps her connect with people. And she kind of finds some common ground there. And the final solution should have been brain power, not punching the miracle machine. So that's one big arte alteration. And the other one is with Brainiac. You have to give him motivation. Yeah, you can't just say, I want order in the universe. I want to fix what's coming up next. We haven't seen it. We don't know what's coming up next. It might be the crisis. It might be foot fungus. We can't tell because you don't tell us. So to make this change and to also solve the plot holes with the circle, I'm saying that in this movie, we say Brainiac shows up and says, look, I know my actions might seem extreme, but I have messed around with time and I calculate nothing survives past next year. This point in time, this date and time, nothing survives in this future. And I only me taking control now and harnessing all the brain power of the universe can figure out how to avert the solution. That's it. That's all the motivation. He's trying to save everybody. He needs a collective brain power. He knows that people won't just stop fighting or whatever they're doing for it. So he takes charge himself. And that's his motivation. And that's why the full circle members, because if you think about it, the unbroken circle, zeros, whatever you want to call them, if they have access to all points in time, they should have been able to come back and prevent all this from happening.
Yep.
The Terminator rules. So that's what you do. You make it so he's doing it for the sake of everything he wants You know, you could even add in he wants to bubble stuff again, but he can't bubble it if nothing exists. So do that. That's enough Brainiac motivation if you really want Brainiac to be your villain. And then we can call it a day with Brainiac and Kara and all of them. But yes, overall, movie fails its villain. It fails its hero. And though there are some fun scenes and fun action, ultimately, it's just a mess. What do you think?
I am going to agree that this is a 4 out of 10 for me as well. All for the same reasons you said. A lot of it just doesn't seem like cohesive. There's a lot of leaps in logic that gets taken. Some stuff does work. I did kind of like hearing a little bit of like Brainiac explaining how he got back to this point. Because it does feel like a, well, how come this thing happened? And he was like, well, because I had to do that thing. So like that was the only time where it was just like A to B to C actually really kind of connected well to me. Everything else just seemed like we're in the middle of a CW high school drama. Actually, I'm going to take that back. Not CW. We're going to go back to WB. because it just felt like everything was your typical 90s kind of storytelling of just like outsider arrives, meets other outsider. It's like if you gave us Mean Girls again, but just didn't give us a lot of substance that came with that film over time as well. So that was the issue that I had a lot that I had with it entirely, because it just feels like the whole story is just very hollow. And I also agree with Supergirl, like her characterization, her character development does not match up with what I expected was going to happen. It feels like she's in the exact same place. The main issue that Batman had was that it doesn't seem like she cares about, you know, protecting things. She doesn't care about the damage she's causing, the level of property damage that she's causing in the first 5 minutes of the film is enough that Batman was just like, we need to find a different strategy. And even Superman is agreeing with it in his mind. Yet, you say that you solved that issue by taking her out of a place that isn't as run down, which is a terrible story to tell, because it's like we took her from 21st century to 31st century where more things are available. But she doesn't get an understanding of like why it's important to preserve and protect things, given the fact that she's so strong. And as we saw, one poke from her could knock over a stone tablet.
Mm-hmm.
So we lose that entirely for the sake of a Supergirl, super person punch him up at the end of our film. And it doesn't feel like it makes any sense. She was already always accepted. As soon, you know, like at every point, it does feel like she's been accepted. She enters into Earth. She's accepted by her cousin to become a superhero. She's accepted by society to be a superhero. There's only outliers who are calling her out for the exact messed up things that she's doing that she has a problem with. And then she doesn't even see that translate over Brainiac. If you're trying to show us that, like, this is the person that, like, is experiencing similar things to her, because Brainiac has just been being bullied and, like, harassed for being alive.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl is accepted 24/7, except for when she's in the past, when she makes mistakes. And it's not even like a mistake where it's just like, oh, I poured milk into, I poured water into my bowl of cereal instead of milk. No, she is legit causing harm. A person's home was destroyed and she was just like, whatever, peace out. It's just not enough. It doesn't feel like Kara learned anything at the end of this film. Brainiac 5, maybe you see a little bit of a change for him. Mon-El, we already knew he was evil from the very get-go. Yeah. It doesn't really feel like a surprise twist or anything like that. So, and then when it just feels like we shouldn't have most of the characters we have here, specifically by which I mean Batman and Superman. Like, it does feel like, yes, I mean, kind of, I guess in some sense you need them to bring her over to the 31st century. But when you create so many gaps in between the story, it feels so out of place. Where it's like, it could have easily just been like, Kara found herself in the 31st century by accident. You already experimented with time travel in the last movie where Superman was featured. So like, this introduce that concept again, maybe change it up a bit. Just something that it doesn't feel like at the end of it, Kara learned nothing at all. And it's just like she just continued because, again, the main thing, she needs to stop the destruction. Doesn't feel like she learned that lesson at all.
No. It's also quite frankly insane now that I'm thinking of it now, because what you're saying made me think of this. Why was the destruction of Krypton and Brainiac's motivations never connected? Because if you have one line from Brainiac saying, if we don't do this, if you don't let me give my solution, everything gets destroyed. That is something that would give Kara pause, because she's seen that. She knows that. Use that part of her backstory. Use that she's seen a beautiful society destroyed, so she at least hesitates to fight Brainiac. At least, like, considers. Also, what makes sense for Mon-El. If Mon-El knows this, instead of his monologue, he just goes like, yo, I'm a Krypton fanboy. I know it got destroyed because we didn't listen to smart people. He's a smart person. I'm listening to him to prevent the end of the universe. This is so, it's right there.
Even have Brainiac say that, like, have this be like his conversation with Kara. It feels like for an entire point where he's just like, I studied you. I learned what makes you tick, what could harm you. You mean to tell me you didn't think about using Krypton against her in some way, shape, or form?
Like, why keep same her line alive even?
Right.
Why did he need her?
It makes no sense whatsoever, because Brainiac 5 was always going to try to break into the vault. Once that happened, done. That is it. Like, this should have just been literally just the Legion of Superheroes movie. I think that it's sad to say this, but like, involving Kara in this way just feels like you're trying to get us to connect with a character that we know more of. Yet you could have easily just made a movie about characters we don't know, expand on their stories, build on that. And that was all we need. If we could have literally sat here and just watched a film about Brainiac 5, learning how to connect with people, or even like his motivations of like trying not to connect with people, switch it up that the people are trying to connect with him, maybe even still connecting with the high school drama. Mon-El is this like super popular dude who wants to, he's trying to show everybody that he's so super cool. And he's even trying to get Brainiac to connect with him, try to connect with Brainiac, and then still have it be that the plot twist is that Mon-El is evil this entire time. It still works. Supergirl just feels like we're just throwing her into the mix and we're not really telling a proper story for her. We just wanted to tell, once again, a Krypton explosion story and combine all of these things, which, yes, they have connected, but we're at a point now where we don't have to pull from past resources every single time to have us understand why characters are important. A Legion of Superheroes movie would have been perfectly fine. Just leave it though.
And if anyone's wondering, like, okay, how would, you know, Batman and Superman were obviously essential. You had to bring them back in the present. One last alternate pitch. When her pod gets knocked off course, have her land in the 31st century. Time doesn't matter anyway, right? So you have Supergirl land in the 31st century. She comes in. She finds out her cousin generations inspired all these heroes. She's now a military person. She's inspired to be one of those heroes too. Why does she attack Brainiac in this version? Not because her cousin experienced it, because her planet experienced it. Have her, like, a city got stolen by Brainiac in the past, and now she knows what Brainiac is. That sews up all those little plot points, and now we can go straight into her journey of, like, being in the future, being a Legionnaire, and then you have it culminate with, you know, we can talk to the past, you can see your cousin, and having this be an emotional moment for her at the end, something she earns the right to see her cousin from Krypton instead of everything being given to her. So see, it is very simple. If you want Supergirl, but you really want to make a Legion movie, you can do it like this, where we cut out the middle band of Superman and Batman and Flash for one scene in the present, cut the Solomon Grundy jokes, and focus on making the best version of this movie you can.
And too, just even think about that, like, that with her earning that kind of moment to talk with Superman, have it be at the end of the film. Maybe that's when you introduce the fact that they can actually head on to the past and have these. And she's just like, hey, do you want to meet Superman? Do you want to meet your cousin? Because you could just easily tell the story of just like Kara feels out of place also, because very similar to Superman, she's the last of her kind that's here. She hears these stories and she's just like, but I'm still the only one. And then have it be revealed that maybe they've been this is like the early stages of like the Legion of Superheroes. It's like, hey, we've actually been working on this technology to head to the past, and it's been working out really well. Would you like to meet your cousin? And then have it be right there. You have this whole entire plot point of just like, that way you don't have to always associate Superman having to save Kara and try to force her into like this new world and mindset, and having to be like, no, I'm going to try to find a way to make you feel comfortable. It just feels so disjointed, the movie itself. I'm very upset about it because I'm just like, I really had high hopes. I love Supergirl. She's always between what we've seen in the CW, we've seen in Smallville, even from her movie, even from like her appearances in the Adventures with Superman, and the story even being told in Justice League Unlimited. Mm-hmm. But it just feels like we are losing the fact that the story could have just tied together a lot better between these characters, and not just have it be a high school drama put in 83 minutes of animation. So to bring this full circle, because we will probably stay here for 2 hours talking about this thing. Still, though, I have to wonder if this is going to be our new Wonder Woman Bloodlines, or is this... I hope not, but like we'll move on. What we do have to talk about is some comic book knowledge, and as promised, because the computer AI did a semi-decent job of explaining who the Dark Circle is, of course we're going to make sure that you know a little bit more. If you're wondering why are we talking about the Legion of Superheroes, check out Justice League versus the Fatal Five, which we covered in one of our previous seasons.
All the Bouncing Boy lore is there, so go and check that out.
So again, today we're talking about the Dark Circle. The Dark Circle first appeared in Adventure Comics number 367 back in 1968. It was written by Jim Shooter. And in this story, we see that the Dark Circle is actually comprised of like five people with their goal of trying to take over the world. This typical storytelling of but the cooler thing about it is that apparently they create clones of themselves to create this mass army. And that is how they came to be the Dark Circle, because in a moment where back when the Legionnaires in the previous issue, they had fought against the Fatal Five, their headquarters were in ruin and they started the process of rebuilding it back out. These members of the Dark Circle, they watched on and saw that this is the best time for them to strike against the Legion of Superheroes, because this is also the best time for them to be able to take over the world and the United Planets that were connected there. So they traveled to the headquarters and they immediately win.
Nice.
Yeah. It's very similar to what we see in our movie. However, just again, like in our movie, Brainiac 5 by himself, no Supergirl or other characters were involved, was able to escape. And in his efforts to hide and try to protect himself from the Dark Circle, he hides in the storage room. And when he hears the Dark Circle making their way towards him, earlier in the comic, we find out also about this character, Karate Kid. this is his actual name. This is not Ralph Macchio. This is a character. Karate Kid decided to go back to Japan because he needed a break after the whole fallout with Mr. Miyagi. It's like, just watch Karate Kid. Two or three. Which one was it that he went
two.
To Japan?
That's two is Japan.
Okay. While in Japan, Karate Kid gets attacked by these same individuals. So in that moment, Brainy, who has locked himself in the storage room, is just like pressed against something. He is hoping and praying that, because he knows Karate Kid is the only other person out there, he's hoping that this person can come through and battle it out with him. And in that moment, Karate Kid appears. He's able to take down a few of them, but it's not enough as Brady continues to wish for this invasion to stop and for everything to go back to the way it was. And just like that, the entire Dark Circle gets wiped off the planet and the headquarters is completed after all the destruction.
Oh, well, all right. Miller time.
It was in that moment when Brainy realized that the thing that was pressed against him was the Miracle Machine.
That's more convenient than the room of requirement in Harry Potter.
Facts. So, again, just like in our movie, Brainiac realizes that this is a device that was created by the controllers of the universe. This is basically a short way of just saying the evil versions of the Guardians of Oa. It's a device which, not quite like our one here in the film, but it's very similar. It's a device that turns thought into reality. So when Brainy was wishing for Karate Kid to appear, Karate Kid did appear. When he wished for the Dark Circle to be completely taken out and for the headquarters to be built up, that is what's happened. And he is telling his Legionnaire friends all about this happening, how he was able to save the day because of this device. And they do believe him enough that they decide to lock away the machine forever.
Right.
And despite their, and that's really just it.
brings it full circle.
Yeah. They do come back up. They continue to persist to, like, the same thing as it gets explained out. They hand over weapons to people and try to create anarchy and turmoil all around. In fact, at one point, they even team up with a dark magician named Mordru. I don't think any connection to Marvel's, or as far as I can tell. So they team up with this magician. He unfortunately gains control of the Dark Circle for his own desires and plans. But luckily enough for the Legion of Superheroes, they were able to defeat everybody. And with that, the Mordru and the Circle were completely defeated, never to be seen in the continuity ever again.
Damn, you got beat so bad, you're not even in the continuity. Damn.
But thankfully though, comics be comicking. So we do see that they reappear in the reboot storytellings of the Legionnaires following Zero Hour. This is when we get introduced to more so the United Planets, this like kind of like United Nations, but on a planetary scale. They are contending against a similar system that has been popping up recently called the Affiliated Planets. It is now these planets that didn't get the right to join the United Planets. So now they're like, you know what? Forget y'all. We're going to do our own thing. And they start to gain a lot more planets to the point where it's just like the UP and the AP have to battle it out. And this is really just because there's some events of a terrorist attack on Durla, just like as explained in our film today. So the more that they try to investigate what's happening here, it's soon revealed that the Affiliated Planets are actually a front for the Dark Circle.
Oh.
And their plan is very similar, just cosmic control. It's universal control, having everybody fall under their rule. But something seems off. So the Legionnaires start to investigate. And when they finally make their way to the leader, it's revealed that the leader is none other than Brainiac 4, the mother of Brainiac 5.
Nice. Okay.
And the reason why she has started all of this is because her Brainiac programming had kicked in, taken away all of her empathy, and she realized that the only way that she could feel anything is through mass murder.
That's not good advice, guys. Go to therapy.
Exactly. So with that, they defeat her, much to, unfortunately, Brainy has to contend with this fact that his mother is the culprit behind all of this. So they defeat her. They take her into a psychiatric facility for treatment, and it ends with the Dark Circle being fully disbanded now. However, because the Affiliated Planets was such a great idea, they now form an alliance between the United and the affiliated planets. And that's it. That is everything that we have about the Dark Circle. Since then, they just popped up a couple more times as we see them here in our film today. They also appeared more so to their pre-Zero Hour counterparts in the Legion of Superheroes television series that came out back in the early 2000s, where we saw somewhat of a similar story where a Superman is taken from, to our film today, where Superman is taken from the past to the future, and he teams up and works alongside the Legion of Superheroes. So they have a one episode appearance, very similar to these clones trying to take down the United Planets because they didn't agree with the way that they were being put together, because it felt like they were just belittling a lot of other planets. So they decided to fight back against that.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. I hope I provided more info than the computer AI, though, to be honest, there really isn't much info about the Dark Circle. I guess they do a pretty good job of keeping their actions and motivations a secret. But with that, we're going to wrap up our episode here. So be sure to check us out on our Patreon for updates, as well as our socials, about more episodes that are to come that you can always find across every podcast platform and YouTube. Take care of yourselves and remember that get renters or home insurance, because you never know when Supergirl might come through and destroy your aluminum and hot sand studio apartment.
Yes. And again, if you end up working for Star Labs, blast everybody. Your boss, your employer, doesn't matter. If there's a break-in at Star Labs, you know what to do.
Thanks again for listening. Yet another DC Animated Podcast is a proud part of the Forgotten Entertainment family. If you liked what you heard, leave a review and share us with a friend. Also, be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts and on social media at YADC Animated Pod.